John 10, we'll look at verse 10, and while you're looking for that, they'll all be on the screen if you don't have your Bible handy, but while you're looking for it, let me pray for us again. Father, we thank you that you've gathered us together here today. Lord, we're thankful for the way you've already met us. You came during worship, you came as we were praying for Michelle, and you've already met us here today. So Lord, thank you for that. We just ask that you continue to come and that you continue to meet us as we study your word. Holy Spirit, as always, we welcome your presence because we know that as you are with us, Holy Spirit, there can be no spirit of distraction in the room. And Holy Spirit, as you are with us, there can be no spirit of doubt or confusion in the room. Only the Holy Spirit gets to speak and move and have his way in here. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you to come and do just that. Amen. Well, as I had said, I was going to start this year by giving messages to help us get the new year off on the right foot. 3 weeks ago, I did a message on restoration, that God is a God of restoration. We built a very strong theology that God restores all things, and he loves to restore things better than they were before, which is really incredibly good news, right? Especially if we're going through a season of loss. I encouraged all of us in that message, rather than make New Year's resolutions, we should instead make a list of things that we want to ask God to restore. Then 2 weeks ago, I talked about serving. Serving can help us get the year off on the right foot, because in serving, we find our kingdom purpose, and in serving, we find deep connection and friendship with others. And we experienced that yesterday at the cleaning event we had yesterday here at the church. A lot of people came. We had a lot of fun. I'm running the carpet shampooer, and I'm just hearing everyone else just laughing. I'm like, I think I'm missing out on something because I'm hearing a lot of laughing. But we had a great time serving here in the church yesterday. And then last week, we looked at theology of tithe, and I said there is nothing better you can do for your finances than to begin to tithe and make sure it's a full tithe, not just a few bucks, right? So last week we did that. Today I want to look at this passage in John 10:10, and it's still related to getting our new year off on the right foot. This passage talks about two kingdoms, but it also talks about abundance. And so as we start the new year, are we aligned with the right kingdom, and are we walking in the abundance that's been promised to us? I feel like this passage should almost start with, once upon a time, there were two kingdoms. Because that's really how it feels. Jesus is explaining two different kingdoms, and the difference in the dichotomy between them is so strong. So I want to look at that so that we can start our year making sure we're in the right kingdom and receiving the right abundance, all right? John 10:10, I'm reading from the NASB today, which is what will be on the screen. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that's a good word right there, isn't it? Now, I want to take two passes through this verse, okay? I want to take the first pass through the verse to understand the context, the language, the grammar, as I always do. And then we're going to go through it a second time so that we can understand what this verse means for our day and how do we walk into it, okay? So Jesus starts by talking about the thief first. Now, the word thief here in Greek, in the Greek language, is the word kleptes. The word klepte is where we get our English word for kleptomaniac. I want to read to you an English definition of kleptomania. Impulse control disorder that involves the repeated impulse to steal for no great gain, where the perpetrator has sufficient money to pay for the items and no need for what is stolen. That's a great definition of kleptomania. Doesn't that sound like the devil, though? I mean, like, I read that definition out of an English dictionary. I'm like, wow, it's talking about the devil. Because he doesn't need that stuff that he's stealing. Right? And, of course, this is Jesus is talking about the devil when here he talks about the thief. The devil has no needs for these things that he takes. He takes them because he hates you, and he hates the image of God that you bear. Right? Now, continuing in the verse, the first activity that Jesus mentions of the devil is stealing. The thief comes only to steal. And Jesus uses the same word, kleptes. In the original language, there is a play on words here with homonyms. It really reads the thief that steals, but it's the same word. You could say the thief that's thieving, because he uses one as a noun and one as a verb, but it's the same word, the thief that's thieving. Now, when we think about this concept of stealing here, we have to think about more than just the physical stuff, okay? The devil doesn't come to steal your car, although he may do that. The devil has no body, and he doesn't have a physical need for these things, like we looked at in that definition of kleptomania. His thievery happens in the spirit realm. He comes to steal your joy and your happiness. He comes to steal your well-being and your health. And he comes to steal your peace. Oh, he loves to do that one. the devil loves to come and steal your peace, right? And of course, he can also steal things in the physical realm. Like, he can steal your car, and he can steal your finances, but he's primarily operating in the spirit realm. And he's taking things that he doesn't need. He's just taking them because he hates that you bear the image of God. Now, continuing in the verse, the next activity that the thief, that Jesus mentions here of the thief, is to kill. In Greek, it's the word thuo. The meaning of this word is to kill, to butcher, to offer sacrifice. Again, we can't think in terms of killing like the physical only. This isn't just about murder, although it can be that. Again, this is primarily in the spirit realm. The devil comes to kill your dreams. He comes to kill your well-being. He comes to kill your peace. He comes to kill your health. Right? Now, the next activity of the devil that Jesus mentions here is to destroy. It's the Greek word apalmi. This one, it means to destroy, to kill, to cause, to lose, to die, to perish, to destroy utterly, to bring to naught, to make void, to lose, to deprive. Violence and strife are often associated with this word, okay? So he's thieving, he's killing, and he's bringing violence and strife. Now, Jesus includes this last word here, palimiu, to cover all the bases in case something wasn't already covered with the stealing and the killing. Jesus is being very redundant, but on purpose. And again, we have to think past the physical stuff. He's here destroying relationships and destroying well-being. The basic idea here is that the devil wants to destroy you and everything about you and render it either useless or dead because he hates God and he hates that you bear his image. Jesus is using repetitive words and concepts here to create a meta-narrative of the violence and destruction that the enemy can cause. Jesus is just really driving home the point with his repetitive words that the devil is out to get you and it's going to be ugly. And all three of these words that he uses here makes it clear that the devil's not out to do nice things for you, right? And so sometimes I wonder why we play nice with the devil. He's not out to do anything nice for us, but yet sometimes we'll play nice with him. Now, this whole thing that Jesus has described, these three words, this is the essence behind the first kingdom. Again, this is the tale of two kingdoms. Jesus is talking about two kingdoms, the kingdom of the devil and then his kingdom. So the kingdom of the devil is all about killing, stealing, destroying, just utterly ruining everything about you and your life. Okay? Then there's this huge transition in this verse with what Jesus is saying here, and he now begins to explain the kingdom of God. So this is where you really see the tale of two kingdoms coming. This is what the enemy does. This is what I have come to do. Jesus says, I came that they would have life and have it abundantly. And I love how it's just now all about Jesus and his promise for us. The difference between these two kingdoms is night and day, and the contrast between the two could not be stronger. Now, there's also a strong contrast here between the stealing, killing, and destroying, and the safety of the pasture and the gate mentioned in the previous section in John 10:7. John 10:7, Jesus says, my people will come into my pasture, they'll find rest, they'll find safety in my pasture. And then there's this transition into what the devil does, and then Jesus goes back into saying, I came to bring life in abundance. So there's a strong contrast between this whole section, between Jesus' kingdom, safety, life, the imagery of a pasture, devil killing, stealing, and destroying, and then Jesus bringing abundant life. So now let's look at this promise a little bit more. Jesus says he came to give life. In the Greek, it's the word zoe, which is the basic word for life. The enemy came to kill. Jesus comes to give life through sacrifice of his own life. See, Satan comes to kill you. Jesus came to allow himself to be killed that we would have life. Such a big contrast between these kingdoms. And Jesus didn't come to be stingy with life. It says that he came to give it abundantly. The word in the original Greek language means exceeding, going beyond, full abundant, more than, excessive, in full abundance, exceedingly, vehemently. Christ, life in Christ is to be abundant and exceedingly abundant. Okay, so now the thing. Compare that to your life right now. This is the promise from Jesus. He says, I came that you would have life and have it exceedingly abundantly. Can you honestly say that's a good description of your life right now? Yeah, for many people probably isn't. So we have to figure out why that is, okay? Now, I described some of the words, some of the grammar, all that kind of stuff. Now, I want to go through this verse again and be a little more practical with how we live it out today. We can use this first part of the verse here as a thermometer. It says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. And we pick that apart with the grammar and the words. But now this can be how we get our new year off on the right foot. By taking this as a little test, we can use this as a litmus test or a thermometer. Is there too much killing, stealing, and destroying going on in our life? If we can say yes to that, we know that the wrong kingdom is influencing us at the moment, right? That's why Jesus gave us this description of the devil's work, is to use it as a thermometer or a litmus test. How are we doing? Now remember, don't just think about physical. Ask, where is your joy? Where is your peace? Where is your health? I often hear people start telling me about their life, and I'm just thinking, whoa, there's way too much killing, stealing, and destroying going on in your life right now. Like, we got to talk. But when people begin to tell me about that, and I'm seeing all the killing, stealing, and destroying, I begin to look and listen for where and how the devil is at work in their life so that I can help them get free from that. But we can do this each individually as a thermometer and a litmus test, taking this, like, how am I doing here? Now, as we look at the second part of the verse, we can also compare our life to what Jesus has promised, exceedingly abundant life. If our life does not reflect that promise, then we get to ask why. It's a promise from Jesus. It's in the Word. I came that they would have life and have it abundantly. So if that doesn't describe what's going on in our life, we get to ask why not. So now what do? We took our spiritual temperature and we see too much stealing, killing, and destroying. So how do we stop it and stop the influence of the devil in our lives and walk into the promise of abundance? I'm glad you asked. I have a few thoughts. Not that that surprised anyone. Number one, repent. Unrepentant sin is always an entry point for the work of the devil. Hard stop. We don't come under demonic influence like you catch a cold. You don't just walking down the street one day and wham, all of a sudden the devil. Doesn't work that way. But unrepentant sin is an open door for the enemy to begin to influence in your life. If you're not sure what to repent of, ask the Lord. He will show you. He's good like that. If you're married, ask your spouse. Just saying. If you're still not sure, start with pride and idolatry. These are sins of humanity and are often present. Ask, what are your idols, the things that you cling on to way too much, the things that you find yourself putting hope into? Oh boy, I'm really hoping this thing works. That's idolatry, because if it's not Jesus, it's idolatry, period. Having an idol will quickly attract the work of the enemy. So check your life. Where are the idols in your life? And then repent. The second thing, this is all about Jesus. We cannot get free of the work of the devil without Jesus. Remember, there's two kingdoms. We have to align with one. We can't sit on the fence. The devil owns the fence. We've got to be all in for Jesus, okay? Consider the words of John 10, 8, and 9. Stephen, I think those might be in there. All who have come before me are thieves. In other words, anyone that's not Jesus is a thief. Do you realize what he just said is anyone that's not me is the devil? Because he just called the devil a thief. It's the same word, kleptes. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture, which represents rest and healing. This is all about Jesus. Are we aligned fully with his kingdom? And no other. And again, you can't be on the fence. The devil owns the fence. The property line comes right up through the fence. There is only one way into the safety and well-being that is promised here, and it is through Jesus Christ. Maybe part of your repenting needs to be getting back right with Jesus and trusting him with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Amen? The third one, and this one is super important, giving thanks and praise. Remember, we're trying to figure out, if we tested it, we've got too much killing, stealing, and destroying going on in our life. How do we get back aligned with Jesus' promise of abundance? Giving thanksgiving and praise. You see, the devil can't exist in the same space as thanksgiving and praise. He can't. The devil cannot be in the same place where there is thanksgiving and praise being given to Jesus. The devil's bugging you, just start giving thanksgiving and praise, and he will run right out of there. He can't exist in that same space. If you want to enter into the gates of heaven, or God's gates, so to speak, even as we see here in John, Psalm 104 tells us this. Stephen, I think that's in there as well, Psalm 104. Enter his gates, in other words, his presence, his protection, with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Gates and courts represent God's presence, God's protection, God's fulfillment and satisfaction. We enter with thanksgiving and praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Entering his gates or his courts, again, is speaking of this presence and protection, and we get there through thanksgiving and praise, and the devil can't follow us into that place. He can't go there. The devil cannot get into the gates or the courts, because he cannot exist in the same place where there is thanksgiving and praise being given. You see that? Now, within this idea of giving thanksgiving and praise, we need to look carefully to see where God is still working despite the stealing and killing that's going on. So we're in the middle of a traumatic situation. There's lots of stealing and killing going on in our life. Sometimes it's hard to see the work of God. But if you really focus, okay, God, where are you work? Find the little things and begin to give praise and thanksgiving for all of those little things that are happening. You enter into his presence so the devil has to flee and more of God's promise can come in. So in the midst of that struggle, you got to look for the little things that God is still doing, okay? Even though the devil is at work doing his thing, God is still there doing his good work. Fourth, again, we're trying to overcome the killing, stealing, and destroying. Fourth, take authority over it. This one always bothers people, like, wait, what? Yeah, take authority over it. Jesus has complete authority over the devil, as he says in Matthew 28, 18. He says, I have all authority on heaven and on earth. If he has all authority, how much does the devil have? None, right? And then after Jesus says that he has all authority, he says, I'm giving it to you, now go and make disciples. So he has shared with us that authority. So when the devil is killing, stealing, and destroying, repent, give praise and thanks, and then just tell him, stop it. Just stop it. Get away from me. You have no right. You have no authority. Leave now, spirit of deceit. It will work. But don't play nice. See, we tend to be like, oh, well, you know, devil, like, would you mind just, like, moving on for me? No, like, mean it. Get out. Stop bothering me. I am with Jesus. Just speak to it with authority and it will stop. And then the fifth one. Seize kingdom opportunities. Always be looking for where God is working and then join him. You see, as we see God at work and then we join him, the devil will run from that because he doesn't want to be a part of advancing what God is doing, right? I think the best story I can think of with that, there was a woman in our church many, many years ago. She was at Walmart, and she's walking through Walmart, and she sees another woman limping. And she stops her and says, hey, I know she's limping. Can I pray for you real quick? And the woman's like, sure. So the first woman prays for her, and the second woman gets healed right there in Walmart. That second woman came to our church, got baptized, and became a follower of Jesus. But that's also how you stop the killing and stealing and destroying in your own life, because the devil won't follow you down that path. Seize kingdom opportunities. And the sixth one, and this is super important too because we miss it. Be careful with what you agree with. In moments of trauma and frustration, we can give subtle agreements to the lies of the devil. And even that quiet, subtle little agreement in our heart gives the devil permission to steal and kill. So in the middle of that really, really hard thing that you're facing, sometimes that little thought just goes through your head, well, God's not good. God can't help me. And as soon as you think that and give agreement to that, you've given permission to the devil to come into that space and now and torment you. So be careful with what you agree with. And if you've already made some agreements, just break them. Just repent and break them. Lord, I'm so sorry. I said that. I'm so sorry. I agreed with that. That is not right. That is not of you. I'm sorry. I repent. Lord, I give all of my faith and trust back over to you. I do not believe this lie, and I break free from it. And it loses all of its power over you, okay? I have done that with so many people. When I see people really, truly tormented, I usually start there, and I just lead them through that promise, and there's just an instant dose of freedom that comes immediately. This verse ends by saying that Jesus gives abundantly. I came that they would have life and have it abundantly. We can't gloss over this. God is not a stingy God. In the first week in this series, we looked at how much he loves to restore and to restore better than it was before because he loves to give in abundance. It's part of his nature, but we often lose sight of that. The devil is at work killing, stealing, and destroying and planting seeds of scarcity, and so we lose sight that God is a God of abundance. You see, the devil wants us to think that God can't and won't supply abundantly. The devil wants us to think through the lens of a poverty mindset. A poverty mindset focuses on what you don't have. I can't do that. I don't have this. That's a poverty mindset. A poverty mindset says, hoard what you have. I only have a little bit left. I better hang on to it real tight. That's a poverty mindset from the devil because God is a God of abundance. A poverty mindset prevents you from tithing. Oh, I can't tithe. I can't afford it. That's a poverty mindset. And that will invite the work of the devil into your life. But the abundant life in Christ focuses on what God has done and will do. The abundant life in Christ focuses on giving rather than hoarding. If there is too much stealing, killing, and destroying going on in your life, just start being generous. That'll help. The abundant life in Christ looks for abundance in places other than material possessions. There's this TV commercial I've been seeing where there's this old man sitting on a couch, and he's just being crawled on by like six grandchildren, and the bottom just says, I am rich. That's it. When you can see abundance in God because you've got six grandchildren, that's it. It doesn't even have anything to do with money. That's just blessing from the Lord, and you're seeing it as abundance. Abundance can have many forms, and we have to look for that and celebrate that and invite that into our life. Celebrate and give thanks for the little signs of abundance that you do see. You see, we have a choice today. Once upon a time, there was two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of the devil that was killing, stealing, and destroying, and there was another kingdom that was about life and life abundantly. But you see, these two kingdoms presented you with the question, will you give yourself fully and wholly to only one? You can't have it both ways. You can't go back and forth. And you can't sit on the fence. Once upon a time, there were two kingdoms that invited you. Come, follow me. Which will you choose today? I'll invite the worship team back up.